Envious. Those of you that know me well know that I love music and I love singing. I just can't do it very well. And to see these guys get up here and sing and play instruments and then play more instruments and play more instruments, I was like, wow. Martin makes me feel better though because he can't sing and play at the same time, and so he gives me a little bit of encouragement. I was trying to get Mark. I said, where's the bass at? And his brother said he can't do two things at once. And so it made me feel a little bit better about myself in that. So thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. Yes, sir. But no, that was a blessing. I enjoyed that tonight. All the singing, all the everything's just been good. We're in Matthew chapter number 5. I'll be honest with you. I it's difficult sometimes when you come to a passage of Scripture. I believe I said this 2 weeks ago when I was looking at verse number 13. Sometimes the more familiar a passage is, the harder it is to preach it. It's like, you know, you're coming to a passage of Scripture. Those of you that teach Sunday school or you've preached, I see some preachers nodding their head because if you've preached many times, it's like, what do I bring out of this text? I mean, who hasn't heard a message on John 3:16? Who hasn't heard a message on Matthew chapter 5, verses 4 through 16? And so it can be a little bit of a challenge. But I'll tell you what, I'm just going to give you what God gave me. I doubt it's going to be anything new for anyone. Now, I did see one thing that was kind of new to me, and so maybe it'll be new to some of you. That's probably got you concerned already. Somebody says something new. I wouldn't say it's new. It's just something I hadn't seen before. But we're going to look at Matthew chapter number 5. And as I said, we're going to continue on the Sermon on the Mount. If you'll remember 2 weeks ago before Brother Edwards was here, we looked at verse number 13 where Jesus gave the illustration of salt. We've been looking through the Beatitudes, and I titled them The Good Life. And we looked at each Beatitude and talked about those that are living the good life. And then verse number 13, it was as if Jesus said, now I want to tell you about the effects of the good life. When you live the good life, this is the effect that you're going to have on the world. And we looked at 2 weeks ago that effect as of salt. And he talked about the illustration and the impact of salt. And tonight, I want to look at the next illustration that Jesus gives. And he gives another one, not of salt, but of light. And look at verse number 14. He said, ye are the light of the world, right? And so Jesus is illustrating to his disciples, I believe, and not just his disciples, but all those that follow him. I mentioned, I think, in my last message that when you see ye in the Bible, it's talking about a group of people, right? Thou and thy and thee, those T's that we use in the Bible, they're singular. But when you come across a ye or a you, it's plural. And so if you didn't know that, that's a good thing to know when you're reading your Bible. And so in verse number 13 and 14, Jesus says, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. He's telling his disciples, all of you, every one of you, that follow me, that are living for me, that are living the good life, right? We talked about that good life, those Beatitudes. They're not a map to get to heaven. They're a mirror. That's very important that we understand that. They're not a map to get us to heaven. They're more like a mirror that shows us if we're on our way to heaven, if we're a child of God, if we're a Christian, if we're a follower of Jesus. And so Jesus says that those of you that are living the good life, those of you that are saved, those of you that are my followers, my children, he says, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. And so I want to look at that tonight, that thought, ye are the light of the world. The first thing I want to look at here is the significance of light. The significance of light. You know, I don't think we even think about very often how important something like light is until the lights go out, right? Until electricity gets turned off. But even then in this society in which we live where most homes have flashlights, and you hope you've got batteries for those flashlights, right? Some of you have generators, or you have other ways, or lamps, or lanterns for those of you that camp or do those types of things. But when I think of darkness and when I think of the significance of light, I'm not just talking about the lights going out for a little bit. I'm talking about utter darkness. I don't know that we can even wrap our minds around that, but I believe when Jesus is telling his disciples that ye are the light of the world, I think he wants us to understand, and I think it was a little easier for them to understand in an era where there was no electricity, right? There was light, But it was not electricity, and it was not as easy as the way that we access light. I think they probably had a little bit of a better understanding than we do of what it means, this significance or this importance of light, right? So light is a very significant thing. It's a very important thing. I say it's so important that Genesis chapter 1, verse number 3, the first recorded words of God, right? The first recorded words that we have from God, not first recorded words in the Bible, but where the Bible says God said. What was the first thing that God said in the Bible? Let there be light. Right? I would say that is pretty significant. If it's the very first thing that God gave when he began to create the worlds that in which we live in, that God spoke and said, let there be light. I would say that's pretty significant. I thought about Exodus chapter number 10, and I won't have you turn there, but in Exodus chapter number 10, Moses is going to Pharaoh, and as God has told him to, and he's given those plagues on Egypt and on Pharaoh, and in Exodus chapter number 10, I believe it's verse number 21, I wrote it down, the Bible talks about that plague of darkness. It literally says this. I read it this afternoon. It's been a while since I had read that account. Exodus chapter 10, verse 21, it says that it was a darkness which may be felt. Have you ever been in a place that was so dark you could feel it? I can't remember. I went to the Luray Caverns as a child on a school field trip, and I believe our school went to the Lake Luray Caverns maybe last year or 2 years ago. FBA went to Luray Caverns. But for those of you that have been to Luray Caverns, I believe there's a time that when you get down deep into the caverns where they turn out the lights. Did they do that to y'all? They don't do that no more? Is that like politically incorrect now or something? They used to do that back when life was cool in the 80s and 90s when you could do stuff like that, right? Now you might scare somebody, hurt their feelings, and traumatize them for the rest of their life. You might get a lawsuit. You scared my little Johnny, and now I'm going to sue you, right? I don't know. Maybe they still do that. I'm not sure. But when I was a child, did they do that? I mean, do they not do that anymore? Somebody help me out. They don't do that no more? Okay, good night. All right. Well, they used to. Right? When I was a kid, those of you that went on a school field trip, they got some of you nodding your heads back, yeah, thank you, back in the 80s and stuff. They used to turn the lights out, and it would be so dark, you could feel it. I mean, it was just pitch black. You couldn't even see your hand. They would tell you, hold your hand up. You couldn't see your hand. You couldn't see no one around you. And then they would turn the lights back on. But down deep in those caverns where there was absolutely no light, it was completely dark. That's what it was like in Egypt when the Bible says it was darkness that could be felt. It says they saw not one another, neither rose any of them from his place for 3 days. When was the last time you actually thought about that? I mean, we all know the story of Moses and the plagues, but when was the last time you actually thought about the fact that for 3 days they saw no one? They couldn't even see their spouse. They couldn't see their children. It says they saw not one another, nor rose from their place. They couldn't even get up out of the bed for 3 days because they couldn't walk. They couldn't go nowhere. It was so dark that you could feel it. And so when Jesus tells his disciples, you're the light of the world, Jesus is telling them, you've got to understand, this thing light is very important. And I think they understood that. Light is very significant. And so I don't think we even really comprehend the significance of light. We take it for granted. We take this thing of light for granted because we have it at our hands. We have it at easy access. Thank God that the sun rises every day. You know there's coming a time when there's going to be darkness upon the earth? I mean, the Bible talks about that. And so this thing of darkness, that's literally physically, this darkness, light is very significant. But even spiritually speaking, the Bible gives us the significance of light spiritually. Right? The Bible talks about those that are lost being in darkness. I'll show you one. Look in Matthew chapter number 4. We could turn to a lot of verses of scripture. I'm not going to do it tonight. But look at Matthew 4. Look at verse number 16. It says, verse number 16 of Matthew 4, the people which sat in darkness. I don't think that means they didn't have any lights. This is talking spiritually. Right? So it says, the people which sat in darkness, spiritually speaking, saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the prophesying of Jesus coming. We celebrate it here. I think next Sunday night we're going to have a candlelight service. And no doubt we'll talk about that light that came into the world. That light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. But the Bible teaches that spiritually speaking, men are in darkness. The Bible actually says that we were sometimes in darkness. I believe it's in Ephesians, maybe chapter number 5, says, ye who were sometimes darkness. Before we were saved, you know what we were? In darkness. See, if you're here tonight and you're lost, there could be a young person here tonight that's grown up in church, but you've never truly been born again. Can I tell you? You're in darkness. Spiritually speaking, you can't see. Spiritually speaking, you're going to stumble through life because you don't have the light inside of you. And so the Bible talks about spiritual darkness in Matthew 4:16, Luke 1:79, Acts 26 verse 18. It talks about it in Ephesians, talks about it in Philippians, talks about it in 1 and 2 Peter. Over and over and over again, the Bible gives us this illustration of light and darkness spiritually speaking. And so you see, I'm talking about the significance of light. Light is very important. I don't know that we truly understand how significant it is, but I want you to try to get a hold of that tonight. Because when Jesus told his disciples, when Jesus told those that were gathered around there at that Sermon on the Mount that they were the light of the world, he was telling them, you are very significant. Can I tell you, church, we're significant. Amen. We're important. This world may not realize it, but can I tell you, the politicians are not near as important as the Christians. The world will try to make you think that Hollywood, that athletes, that the world leaders, that they're the important people in this world. But can I tell you who's important? God's people. God's people are important. And that's what Jesus is telling his disciples. He's saying, guys, you're important. You're very significant. You are, there's people that say that word ye, it literally means ye and only ye are the light of the world. You're the only light that this world has because it's in darkness. And so we see, number one, the significance of light. Number two, and this is the one that I said that was kind of new to me, we see the strength of light. The strength of light. You know, it's amazing what one light can do. I don't know that I've ever considered the strength of light. Have you ever thought about that? The fact that you could go down into those caverns, that's probably why they don't do it no more. Everybody's got cell phones. As soon as they turn the lights out, oh man, good night. Somebody's lost their mind. Let me pull my light out, right? That's all it takes. Have you ever thought about that? When Jesus told his disciples, you're the light of the world, not only was he telling them that they're very significant, they're very important in a dark place, in a dark world, and I don't think I need to keep trying to elaborate how dark our world is. All we got to do is look around. I mean, Brother Matthew talking about the satanic influence out there in Montana. I've heard from many people the Midwest is in darkness. It needs the light. The Northeast is in darkness. It needs the light. And can I tell you, the Southeast is getting darker and darker as we speak. And it needs the light. You say, why is the Middle East the way that it is? Why are there parts of our world? Why is Korea the way that it is? Because it doesn't have any light. You look around this world and you see places that are steeped in darkness and wickedness. You know what's wrong? There's no light. And then you look at America and you say, America sure is dark. America sure is wicked. What's going on in America? The light. The light. Light's very significant. But can I tell you, this is an encouraging thought. The strength of light. Light is strong. All it takes is one light. Can I tell you, when light shows up, darkness disappears. Amen. Have you ever thought about that? Light dominates darkness. Light dominates darkness. You could be down in the depths of the Luray Caverns and they could turn out the lights and all it would take is one cell phone, one candle, one lighter, and the dark's going to vanish. Because dark has no strength and no power over light.
Isn't that encouraging to you?
That's encouraging to me. Because if we're not careful, the devil will have us believing that we're on the defense. No, we're on the offense, brethren. Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You see, we don't need to be on the defense. No, we need to be on the offense because light is much more powerful than darkness. Amen. Darkness flees when light shows up. And so when Jesus is telling his disciples that they're the light of the world, he's saying, hey guys, you're very significant. You matter. And I'm just trying to really get that thought across tonight. I want some young person in here to understand that if you're a saved, born again, child of God, you matter. You matter. Your light is very important. And can I tell you, not only is your light significant, but your light is strong. Darkness cannot stand against light. Let's not think that the Bible says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And listen, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But can I tell you, the rulers of the darkness of this world have no power against the light, because light dominates darkness. And so we see, number one, the significance of light. Number two, we see the strength of light. Number three, and we'll go through these as quickly as I can. We see the source of light. Where does light come from? Jesus said, you're the light of the world. But can I tell you, I think we all know this, and I don't need to elaborate too much on it. But when Jesus told his disciples, you're the light of the world, there's a source of that light. And I've already mentioned once where that light comes from. God said, let there be light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. John 8:12. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. 1 John 1:5 says, God is light. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You see, God is the source of light. And without God, there is no light, because God is light. But thank God, because God is light and we have God living inside of us as his children, now we are light in a dark world. And so we see the significance of light. We see the strength of light. Number three, we see the source of light. Number four, I want to look at the spreading of light. I'm getting ready to get to my text here and be done shortly. I want to look at the spreading of light. How or what has God chose to spread his light? It's his light. We realize that. It's his light. What does God use to spread his light? Most of you know these, but I want to give them to you real quickly in case you don't. Number one, I believe God gives his commandments to spread light. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto thy path. Right? The word of God. Psalm 119, 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. So the word of God is a way that God spreads his light. So number one, the commandments. Number two, creation. I think it was last year, 2 years ago, we memorized Psalm 19. Many of you stood up and quoted Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse number one, the heavens, are you listening? The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Amen. Right? Their line has gone out unto the ends of the world. And so you say, how does God spread his light? Well, number one, through his word, his commandments. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Number two, through his creation. We walk outside and the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. God is spreading light through creation. Romans 1:20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal Godhead. Listen, so that they are without excuse. You say, what about those that have never heard the gospel? And I'm not going to get into all that. I don't know that I fully can. But can I tell you, everybody has some light.
Missionaries will tell you that have been to the darkest jungles of this world where the Bible's never been, and they will tell you that they know more about God than you think they do. Because the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Before I was a Christian, before I'd ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, I can remember sitting on my friend Courtney's front porch and looking out into the sky and telling him there's more to life than this. Though I grew up in a home that never went to church, though I went to a public school that was teaching evolution, I knew there's something bigger than us. There was something down deep inside of me that could look at the stars in the sky and look at this world in which we live, and I knew there's a creator. This didn't all just happen. It takes more faith to believe that than it does to believe this. And so creation spreads the light. Number three, conscience. John chapter number 1, you ought to read it when you get home. John 1 talks about Jesus being the light of the world, right? John 1:9 says, that was the true light, talking about Jesus, that lighteth, listen, every man that cometh into the world. Did you hear that? That was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So not only does God use his commandments to give light, not only does God use creation and the heavens declaring the glory of God to give light, but God has given man a conscience. And every man is born with a little bit of light inside of him that says, there's a God. There's a God. And I just believe with all of my heart, you have to reject that truth in your heart because God has put it there, a conscience. Listen to Romans chapter 2, verse 15, it says, talking about the Gentiles, that when they knew not God, it says in verse number 15, the law written in their heart, their conscience also bearing witness. So there's a conscience inside of man that is shining light. Now I'm not saying any of that, and I don't want to get, please don't twist what I'm saying, but I'm just telling you this. God has chosen to spread light to humanity, and he's chosen many different avenues to do it. Number one, his commandments. Number two, creation. Number three, conscience. He's given man a conscience from a little child that knows something right, something wrong. But then last, and I think this is what Jesus is talking to in Matthew chapter number 5, Christians. Christians, look at it, Matthew chapter number 5. He says, ye are the light of the world. Look at it, verse number 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill, look at this next word, cannot be hid. Remember that strength of light? It can't be hid. Light cannot be hid. Darkness does not have the power or the strength to hide light. He said, you're a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. You say, but I thought we sang that song, Brother David. Don't let Satan put it out, right? We'll talk about that in a minute. But God has made the Christian the way that he spreads the light, right? God uses the Christian. I'll give you another verse of scripture. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom, listen, ye shine as lights in the world. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has chosen Christians to spread his light. So he's chosen his commandments. He's chosen creation. He's chosen conscience. But he's chosen Christians. That's us. So we see, number one, the significance of light. It's very important. If you don't leave with anything other than that tonight, and I know you already knew it, but I want to remind you tonight, you're important. You matter. And I'm not giving you some, you know, Joel Osteen speech here. I'm giving you Bible. You are important. I don't care what maybe your parents say, you're no good for nothing. No, if you're a child of God, you're important. You're a light. You're significant. But not only that, you're strong. Darkness cannot stand against light. And so we see the significance. We see the strength. We see the source. God is the source of light. We see the spreading. God chose to spread his light. Like, number five, I want to see this, the suppressing of light. Look at verse number 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. This was another one of those truths I'd never seen before. He said it cannot be hid. I've never thought about this verse right here as being an eternal security verse, but I'm telling you, Jesus said your light cannot be hid. Oh, it can be suppressed. And I'm going to talk about that, the suppressing of light. You know, light can be suppressed. It can be held down, but it can't be hid. Are you listening? It can be suppressed, but it can't be stopped. Look at what Jesus said. He said, you're a city that is set on, he said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Look at it. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. You say, well, we sing that song, but they just light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan puff it out. I'm going to let it shine, blow it out. However y'all do it, right? Don't let Satan, whatever. He said, hide it under a bushel. No, that's where it come from, right? You know what a bushel is? That's suppressing the light. That's suppressing the light. But it's not stopping. Jesus didn't say they're going to put your light out. He said, no, don't suppress your light. Don't let your light get dim. Your light's not going to go out. If you're one of his children, you're the light of the world, and nothing's going to change that. But you can suppress that light. And so we see the suppressing of light. I won't spend much time on it, but Jesus says, don't hide it under a bushel. Some people think that bushel stands for labor. They would use a bushel for different things in that culture, and one of the things that they would use it for was for labor. And some people believe that Jesus is saying, hey, don't let labor put your light out. Don't get so caught up in the things of this world, laboring for this world, that your light gets put out. In Luke, he says, don't hide it under a bed. That could speak of laziness, right? Don't hide your light under a bed. He said, it couldn't speak of laziness. It could speak of leisure. How many of you enjoy laying on a bed? Right, I do. Amen. Sunday nap. Some of you didn't get it. You're taking it now. You're enjoying it, though. Praise the Lord, right? So, hey, man, you like to rest, right? Leisure. I don't know, but I'm just telling you this. Jesus says, hey, don't put your light under a bed. Don't put your light under a bushel. Don't suppress your light. Your light's not going to be put out, but don't suppress your light. Don't let your light go dim. So I encourage you tonight, hey, don't let Satan suppress the light, right? He said, don't hide it under a bushel. Don't put it under a bed. But thank God it can't be put out. It cannot be hid. It can be suppressed, but it cannot be stopped. And so Jesus is talking about the light. It's significant, the strength of it, the source of it, the suppressing of it. And then last, and I'm done, the shining of it. Look at verse number 14 again. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Some people says that's talking about public light, right? A city that's on a hill. It's something that everyone can see. Could be talking about church. A corporate light. A city that's set up on a hill. There's many lights. There's not one light in a city. No, there's many lights. And in this culture, as you would walk down those dark ways, I think we just heard a message here recently about the Good Samaritan, and they were talking about how that as they would journey down those roads to get to Jerusalem, that it, Brother Edwards was talking about it, that it would be a very dark road, a dark path that they were walking along, but as they would approach a city, there would be a light, because there would be a city where there was lanterns and where there was people and where there was things. And so Jesus says that city that's setting up on a hill, it cannot be hid. I don't know if he's talking about just our public light in this world, or if he's talking about our corporate light as a group of people. I was thinking about it tonight on a very dark, dreary night when it's raining and everybody could have stayed home. It's a blessing. It's an encouragement to come to church and see a room full of people. You know what this is? This is light. This is light. to a dark world. If someone that was lost were to walk into this place tonight, you know what this place ought to be? Light. It's a light. It's a city that's set on a hill. People seen us leave tonight. There they go to church again. What's that? Spreading light. Said that we're not going to let the rain keep us home, right? Not going to let them keep it home. They're not going to let it keep them home from work tomorrow. Probably didn't let them keep them home from a football game today. And it didn't keep us home from church tonight. Why? Because we're a city that's set on a hill. And that's what this church ought to be. It ought to be a city on a hill shining the light of the gospel to this community. Thank God for churches that are shining the light. Thank God there's a light in Butte, Montana. Thank God there's a light in the panhandle of Idaho. Thank God in a part of the world that's steeped in darkness and drunkenness and all the things that goes on in that part of the world. And thank God there's a light, there's a city set on a hill shining and spreading the light. Jesus said the light is a city set on a hill. And then verse number 15, he said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and look at it, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So we see the public display of light, the public shining of light. That's what we're talking about. But then he talks about privately shining our light. You know, our light ought to shine at home. Yeah. My light ought to shine at home. If anybody in this world needs to see my light, you know what it is? Who it is? My children. My wife, my family, your family. Is the light shining at home? We heard about it tonight. The church is only as strong as the home is. This light's only going to be as bright as it is in our homes. And if our homes are shining bright, then when we come together as a church, this church is going to shine bright. I'm convinced that the brightest shining lights in this world, as far as churches go, are full of homes that are shining bright. Because that's where it starts at, is in the house. Jesus said, don't leave your light up on the hill at the city. Don't leave your light at the church. No, take your light home with you and shine your light at the house. And so we're talking about shining the light. How do we shine the light? Number one, I want to give you the way to shine the light, by our works. Jesus said in verse number 16, he said, let your light, look at it, so shine. Your light, he said, it's important, it's significant, it's strong, it cannot be defeated by darkness. He said, let your light shine. So a light is meant to shine. And so Jesus is talking about shining our light. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Our works ought to be shining the light of Jesus. The things we do, the way we live, ought to be shining the light of the gospel. I wonder how our light's shining. I wonder if the people that we work with see our light. I wonder if the people that you go to school with see your light. I wonder if the people you live with see your light. Because Jesus said a light is meant to shine. And they're going to see it by our works, by the things that we do. It does matter what we do. Are you listening? I know you know this, but it's trying to be pushed upon Christianity today that it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how you live. That we're all under grace, and thank God for grace, but that we're all under grace, and it really doesn't matter how we live. No, it does matter how we live. Jesus said your works ought to be shining the light. Your words ought to be shining the light. I read to you 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, he said, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth, listen, the praises of him. Our words ought to be a light. Brother Edwards was talking about it last week during our revival, and it was convicting to me. I don't know about you. Remember that? Don't complain. No, you said, I forgot about that. I don't want to remember that, Brother David. Can I tell you, when we go to work and we complain, we're not shining our light. You know what we're doing? Suppressing it. when all we do is talk about the darkness and we don't ever spread the light, you know what we're doing? We're suppressing it. And so Jesus said, you need to show them by your works, but you need to show them by your words. People ought to see the light by the things that we say. When was the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? You know it's a gospel of light? I'm mad at myself. I left my phone home tonight. I went to my Bible app and I pulled up a bunch of verses of scripture that I was going to use because I was too lazy to write them down. I know, I'm still writing stuff down. I need to get with the times and preach from an iPad or something. That would be, that'd be hard. Then you can copy and paste though. You know what I'm talking about? I like that copy and paste. I like that talk text. You know what I'm saying? I don't like that typing stuff. But anyway, I didn't write those scriptures down. But you know, there's numerous verses of scripture that talks about the light of the gospel. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And it talks about our light shining, our gospel light that we've been given. It's supposed to be shining to this world. And so Jesus says, hey, you ought to be shining the gospel light with your words. When was the last time you gave somebody that good news that Jesus saves? Can I tell you, when the last time you told somebody about Jesus, you know what you were doing? Shining. Amen. You were spreading light. That last gospel tract that you handed out at Walmart, you know what you were doing? Spreading the light. And so we spread the light with our works. We spread the light with our words. We spread the light with our walk. Ephesians 5:8 says, walk as children of light. 1 John 1:5 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Right? John 8:12, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so our walk, the things we do, the places we go, the way we live, Jesus says is shining the light. So we see the way of shining the light, and then last, the why. Why? Why should I shine my light, Brother David? Why should I shine my light? Look at verse number 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And here it is. This is the why of shining your light. And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I looked that word glorify up in my Strong Concordance. It meant extol, magnify, worship. That you may glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You see, when we shine our light, if we shine it the way it's supposed to be shining, it's not going to build us up. It's not going to build our name. It's not going to make people look at us and say, wow, I tell you, that such and such is such a good Christian. But you know what it's going to say? That such and such has got such a good God. I said this morning. I really hate sometimes using people as illustrations, especially people that are present, because I know it can be embarrassing. But I thought about that funeral service. And you know, as I sat in that funeral service Friday and I saw the impact that Miss N. Bowden had, and some of you, I know you weren't there, so this won't mean much to you, but it was amazing. It was inspiring. It was amazing to see the impact that a lady had. She was the first of that family to get saved. Got saved before Brother Larry. And you saw tonight two of her grandsons are missionaries in the out west, and you know some of the family, and Mark, he's, you know, he can play the bass. I'm just playing. A good family, right? But you know what happened? Grandparents met a good God. And as I sit here, I thought, man, wow, what an amazing testimony. What a lady. But it wasn't long during that service before I started thinking, wow, what a big God. What a great God. That can take, and I didn't know Brother Larry or his wife before they got saved, but they were in darkness, just like you were. And I thought about my own family. As I sit here at that funeral service, I thought about our pastor. And I thought about how our God turned the light on in his life. And his light began to shine. And guess what? He's got a nephew in South Carolina pastoring a church. He's got a nephew in Madison, Virginia on a pastoral staff at a church. He's got children. He's got a daughter that's married to a pastor. He's not much, but she's married to a pastor. He's got a daughter that's married to Adam. Children in church, grandchildren in church. Up this morning, 3 or 4 of his grandchildren up here singing for Jesus. You know what it was? It's a big God. It's a big God that shined his light into somebody's life, and they let their light shine, and because their light shined, that light spread, and it had an impact on somebody else's life. And that's our God, and it glorifies our God. It's not about Pastor Freeman. It's not about Miss Enbo. You know what it's about? It's about the glory of God. It's about the fact that a God can take a person that's lost in darkness and lost in their sin and on their way to a devil's hell, living for themselves, and he can absolutely transform their lives, take them from darkness and put them in the light, and he can change their life and their family's life for generations to come. Amen. That's what glorifies God. That's when God gets the glory. God gets the glory when a Robert Allen gets saved and gets his family in church and raises his family in church and starts reaching other people with the gospel. But Brother Brandon was sharing the text that you've been talking with a guy trying to get him in church. You know what that is? That's spreading the light. It's spreading the light. And you know what it does? It glorifies God. It lets this world know there's a big God that can take David Oliver and change his life. What? So that don't mean much to some of you because you didn't know me. But Calvin did. I knew him. That's a big God that could change his life. It's a big God that changed Jimmy Rudd's life. That's a big God that changed your life. You say, well, I don't have a testimony of sin. Can I tell you, if God reached down into religion and saved you from that mess, that's a big God. Because there's going to be, religion's going to take more people to hell than alcohol ever does. And if God could reach down into to religion and snatch you out like he did the Apostle Paul and save you, you know what he told Paul after he saved him? He said, Paul, I want you to be a light. Go to Acts, I'm going to close here. Go to Acts 26, I believe it is. I hope it is. This is where I close. I'm done. Acts 26. Right on time. That's why I want it to be done about 2 minutes ago. Acts 26. If you know my family, 2 minutes late is on time. Acts 26, we're right on time, right? Look at verse number 14. It says, verse number 13. Look at midday. Yeah, there we go. Look at verse 13. At midday, O king. Look at this. I saw in the way. You know, when I had you turn here, I was actually going here for verse number 18, and it hit me like literally as I was turning here. Paul saw a light. You know what he did the rest of his life? Told people about it. Amen. He said, can I tell you about when I was on to the road to Damascus? Guess what happened to me? I saw a light. Amen. I saw a light. Look at it, verse 13. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Religious man. But rise and stand up upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, look at verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. God said, Paul, I want you to be a light. I saved you to be a light. I want you to spread the light. Can I tell you, church, that's what he wants us to do. Amen. Spread the light. Shine the light. As you go to work tomorrow, let your light shine. If you stop at the store on the way home tonight, shine some light. If you go to school tomorrow, shine the light. As you gather at Christmas dinners and get-togethers with family and friends, shine the light. This world needs light. And Jesus said, ye and ye only are the light of the world. Jesus said, I want to use you. And so let's be that light. The darkness has no power over the light. You know what the devil tried? Just this past week, I wanted to give a lady a gospel track at Target. Target's dark. Y'all get mad at me because I was at Target. I know, okay. Did you stop drinking Pepsi and going to McDonald's and wearing Nike? And you stop doing all that and I'll stop shopping at Target. But anyway, that's beside the point. I'm just saying, I was at Target and one of the employees helped me with something. And I'm just saying, be consistent. That's all I'm saying. If you don't want to buy their stuff, don't buy their stuff. But just be consistent if you're going to look down on me for doing it. But anyway, that's all right, right? We okay? We all right? I'm trying to shine my light here. I'm just saying, all right? But I don't like a store either. It's expensive. I'd rather go to Walmart. That's right. They just as wicked, but they cheaper. Okay? I'm just being honest with you, man. But okay, you can shop at Yoder's. I can't afford it, all right? Praise God for them. I appreciate them, and their stuff is good. But I can't afford it all the time, right? But anyway, I'm rambling now. I got to hurry. I'm past my time, right? What in the world was I talking about? I was going to give a gospel track to a lady at Target. And you know what? I got scared. I'm just being honest with you. I knew I should give that lady a gospel track. I carried it in my pocket to give it to her. And I spoke to the lady, and she was very kind. She said, Happy Holidays. And I said, Merry Christmas to you, ma'am. And I got ready to pull it out of my pocket, and it was like I chickened out. And I was walking away. Lydia was with me, and I was walking away. And literally the whole time I was walking away, the Holy Spirit was saying, quit being a chicken. Turn around. And you know what I did? I kept walking. I was being a coward. But when I saw that, I thought, why? Because the devil wants you to think that the darkness is stronger than the light, but it's not. It's not. I had every right to turn around and tell that lady, I want to give you some good news this Christmas. I want to give you something to read. It'll tell you by the way to get to heaven. Can I tell you, the darkness has no power over the light. I don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Shine the light. Let's pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm going to ask the pianist to come to the piano.